This is the Outlap F1 Podcast, featuring America's own John, James, Andy, and Deanna. Your one-stop shop for Formula One news, insights, race previews, and reviews. Join us on the Outlap!
Welcome into Season 5. This is episode number 21 of the Outlap F1 Podcast. We are part of the Ship It Studios Podcast Network, and this is our 2023 Hungary GP race preview. And we're going into somewhat of a bit of an unknown here tonight because it's Andy, and I am flying solo tonight. Normally, Cody would be with me on the previews, but he literally touched down back from Japan just a few hours ago, and I assume he's pretty darn jet-lagged, so we wouldn't even gonna bother trying to get him on for tonight, but he should be with us Sunday for the review. So I'm going to do my best to try to go through the recent news and whatnots of happenings in Formula One and try to get everybody pumped and primed and ready for what should be a very fascinating weekend. And as always, you can find our show on Twitter, Instagram, Discord, Reddit, and YouTube at Outlap F1 Podcast. If you're on your favorite podcasting app, do us a favor, click the 5-star button. It helps us get our content to you that much quicker, specifically if you're on Apple Podcast or Spotify. You can find us on email. You can always email the show. Chat now at outlapf1.com gets you there. You can find us on the web at www.outlapf1.com will take you there. Just as a always continued thanking of our monetary supporters, thank you so much to Dean Warwick, Yuri Dolchester, Paul Weaver, Quinton Warden, Kevin Kelly, Regan Stanzik, Timothy Brown, and of course, Jonathan Scott. Thank you so much for all of your continued support of the show. If you'd like to become a member of what we call our hashtag Outlap F1 Nation, see our anchor page. There will be a link in our show notes, $1, $5. It all goes back into making the show better. If you'd like to do that, we would be most appreciative of that. You can take advantage of our code OUTLAP, that is OUTLAP, all one word, and that'll get you 20% off and free shipping from the good folks at Manscaped. And our final sponsor, Vincenzo Landino, our buddy, he has a shirt line, thef1guy.com. It is F1 quality merch at not necessarily the F1 quality price. So, again, go ahead and check that out if you are so inclined. Okay, let's get into some of the latest in the world of F1 news. And, of course, the big story over the course of the last week and a half is that the Honey Badger is back. Daniel Ricciardo will be replacing Nyck de Vries effective as of this race and will be in the AlphaTauri car this weekend. Part of the press release from AlphaTauri announcing Daniel Ricciardo will be joining the team on loan from Red Bull Racing for the remainder of the Formula One season, starting from the upcoming Hungarian Grand Prix. Franz Tost has quoted as saying, quote, "I'm very pleased to welcome Daniel back to the team. There is no doubt about his driving skills, and he already knows many of us, so his integration will be easy and straightforward. The team will also profit from a lot from his experiences. He's an 8-time Formula One Grand Prix winner. I would like to thank Nyck for his valuable contribution during his time with Scuderia AlphaTauri, and I wish him all the best for his future." As for Ricciardo, he said, quote, "I'm stoked to be back on track with the Red Bull family." Of course, that's the positive side of this of the swap. The negative side is, of course, what happened to poor Nyck de Vries, who basically went radio silent. But he put out a release on Instagram today. Quote, "A short note from me. After recent events, I decided to take some time away from social media, which I will continue to do. I would like to thank Red Bull and Scuderia AlphaTauri for the opportunity to live my dream. Of course, it hurts that the F1 chance I dreamed for so long ended prematurely. But life is not a destination, it's a journey, and sometimes you have to take the hard road to get where you want to be. I am grateful for our privileged lives, proud of our journey, and my family. This is just another experience. We move on and look forward to the next chapter. Thank you to everyone for your kind and encouraging messages in the past week. It has been heartwarming to feel your support." So we end up with the swap we kind of saw coming. Maybe we didn't necessarily. I didn't necessarily think it was going to be Daniel Ricciardo sliding in right now. I would have expected, you know, AlphaTauri to go with more of a Liam Lawson or maybe one of their guys from F2. But it looks like they want Liam Lawson to complete his Super Formula season. And Liam Lawson had himself another win in Super Formula over the weekend. So that maybe he's doing what he needs to be doing over there. Obviously, as a fan of Daniel Ricciardo, I'm happy for him. He gets to show that if he's still quick, albeit it's going to be in one of the slower cars on the current grid, so we'll have to see kind of how that goes. Success for Daniel will obviously be beating Tsunoda on a regular basis. He's going to be needing to compete for points seriously every weekend, and in some cases even scoring them. And with Perez's recent form a bit on the decline, it's clearly a move to motivate him. And while Perez does have a contract, you have to think Red Bull is not going to do anything, is not going to accept what they've recently gotten as this being acceptable form. And Daniel is willing and ready to do just about anything at the ARB to get that Red Bull seat back. And finally, I do hope that this is a legit, sincere shot for Ricciardo to try to make it back to the grid. I'd hate to see this as some sort of a Red Bull carrot that they waved in front of his face, only to then pull it out from under him kind of at the last minute. You know, if they decide to go back with Perez, I don't know where that leaves him, other than having to maybe try to find a spot with another team. Let's see how this kind of goes. You always have to remember Red Bull sometimes will say one thing to a driver and then sometimes do another. So I hope that's not the case here. I hope it ends up working out. But we shall see. It will be something to watch for as we move into the second half of the season. All right, next story on our docket. There are multiple rumors that are suggesting that the FIA is set to approve both the Andretti Global and Hi-Tech F1 bids. This would obviously be a good step in the right direction for potentially one or both of those syndicates here. But it looks like from what everyone has written about it, it looks like all we're going to get out of this is now a giant standoff, because the teams and FOM are said to be against admitting the new any new teams at the current time. Andretti has gone around and has asked if any of the teams are willing to sell a stake to allow them in that way. That avenue is apparently fully closed and nothing more is going to come out of it. There hasn't been any official announcement from the FIA. So, you know, we've heard like end of July, maybe early August. So, you know, we will continue to monitor anything regarding the Andretti bid. If it tends to move forward or if it looks like that's going to happen. Just stick with us on that one, and we will follow it and see where it ends up going. All right, so there are also rumors flying around that there could be as many as 3 teams in breach of the 2022 cost cap, which would obviously be a major story if that proves to be true. There are reports both out of Italy and Germany, but none of the mainstream sources have necessarily picked this up yet. So no word on which 3 teams. There was a story that came out that said Stefano Domenicali had been quoted as saying that any sort of future breaches should have more of a sporting element to it in terms of a penalty, as opposed to the financial penalty that was assessed against Red Bull. And of course, you know, they were also docked some of their wind tunnel time. However, Craig Slater from Sky Sports, I saw a clip earlier today that said the FIA is insisting that that review process on the 2022 cost cap is not yet complete. There's nothing been communicated to any team about a potential breach, and the reports from Italy and Germany are, quote, factually wrong. So, again, this is one of those stories. If it does pop up and comes back up, we will obviously cover it in greater detail at that time. But it looks like there's a lot of unknowns to this. You know, there's been some suggestions that it could be about teams using F1 personnel in non-F1 type things. We've talked about that a couple times. I referenced the America's Cup syndicates. I know that there were 3 F1 teams that have ties to America's Cup syndicates, those being Red Bull, Ferrari, and Mercedes right now. So if the FIA is looking at that and saying, well, that could come in and maybe that's F1 spending and you thought you were under and now you're over, maybe that's a bigger deal. But But nothing confirmed is at this point. We don't know. We haven't seen any figures, haven't seen any dollars yet. So something just to watch for. If it does pop back up, we will cover it and we'll get back to you. All right, last story before we get into our Hungaro Ring track facts and the weekend proper. This is going to be, this weekend will debut the, quote, alternative tire allocation. That's what they're calling it. Will make its debut this weekend. This was the tire format that was supposed to debut in Imola, and obviously that event did not happen. So Hungary picks up one of these two, air quote, test sessions. We've talked about this before. So under the alternative tire allocation, each team will get the following. 3 sets of hard tires, 4 sets of medium tires, 4 sets of soft tires. The total sets are reduced from the normal 13 to 11, and there are also mandatory compounds required for qualifying. Q1 will feature mandatory hard compound to be ran, Q2 will feature a mandatory medium compound to be ran, and Q3 will feature a mandatory soft compound to be ran. If any of the sessions are declared wet sessions, all of those mandatory compounds go out the window, just like they would in any other sort of wet session. So we'll have to see if the weather plays a role in this, but that's how it's supposed to go. I've kind of given my take on this before. I don't think this is necessarily a great thing to be doing. I don't know what is gained by watching a hard compound in a qualifying session. To me, qualifying is always about the ramp up between Q1 and Q3, where you're watching the drivers finding the limit and pushing the limit throughout each of the sessions, and ultimately, hopefully, culminating in what is going to be the quickest and best lap time. It's been a long time since we've seen the fastest lap time set in Q2 in a non-rainy session. So this just doesn't feel like it's in the spirit of qualifying. It is born out of trying to reduce costs overall, and you know, that also means you don't have to ship as many tires across the world if you can get away with it. But we'll have to see how it goes. I mean, you give anything a shot the first time and see what happens. But to me, it goes against kind of the spirit of Formula One and what it's supposed to be about. I'm not in favor of it, at least at this stage. But, you know, maybe it'll be an awesome qualifying session and maybe I'll have a different opinion come Sunday. But at least right now, don't like it. Don't necessarily like I try to understand it, but it just doesn't seem to work for me. So but yeah, we'll watch it and we'll see how it goes throughout the course of the weekend. All right, that will do it for the news. We're going to take a quick break, pay a bill or two. Come on back afterwards. We'll get into the Hungaro Ring track facts and stats, and we'll get you all caught up on when and where to watch your F1 this weekend. So hop on back. You are listening to the Outlap F1 podcast, and we'll be right back after this quick pit stop. Welcome back to Season 5, Episode number 21 of the Outlap F1 Podcast. It's our 2023 Hungaro Ring Grand Prix race preview. You've got Andy, and I am trying to fly the ship solo tonight. So we've gone through the news, and now we're going to get into the Hungaro Ring track facts brought to us by the good folks at Pirelli Motorsport. Our location is in Mágorád in Hungary. We have 70 laps on offer, a track length of 4.31 kilometers, that is 2.72 miles. Our tire selection in our alternative tire allocation is the C3, the C4, and C5. In terms of track stats, Pirelli rates this as, for traction, a 4 out of 5, asphalt grip a 3 out of 5, asphalt abrasion a 2 out of 5, track evolution 4 out of 5, tire stress 3 out of 5, lateral load 2 out of 5, and downforce 5 out of 5. The qualifying lap record was set by Lewis Hamilton in 2020, and that reads 113.447. The race lap record, also set by Lewis Hamilton in 2020, that is a 116.627. The most wins of current drivers. This is a Lewis Hamilton playground, if there ever was one. He leads the current count with 8 wins. Very impressive there. P2 through P4 are all tied at 1, and that would be Fernando Alonso with 1, Esteban Ocon with 1, and Max Verstappen with 1. In terms of constructors' wins, McLaren are the kings of the Hungaro Ring thus far. They have 11 wins in their history. Ferrari and Williams check in P2 with 7. Mercedes have 5, and Red Bull, of course, has 3. In terms of what's the circuit like, the lack of straights at the Hungaro Ring often sees it compared to a karting circuit, and it's true, the resemblance is a bit uncanny. With several corners to string together, teams opt for Monaco levels of downforce with a well-sorted chassis, tending to be rewarded over horsepower given the short straights on offer. It's a challenge many of the drivers relish, however, finding a good rhythm is key to setting fast lap times. As for the weather, and we could see some weather play a factor this weekend, especially for qualifying. So the qualifying forecast, partly cloudy, skies during the morning hours will become overcast in the afternoon, a high of 82 degrees Fahrenheit, so a bit warmer there. Winds out of the west, northwest at 5 to 10, a 24% chance of rain. And for the race day on Sunday, mainly sunny, high of around 85, so a bit more temperature there. Winds out of the west at 5 to 10. A 21% chance of rain. So we shall see how the weather plays into the course of the weekend. All right, so we will drop our checkered flag and tell everybody kind of when and where to watch your F1 over the course of the weekend. Free practice one kicks off 7:30 a.m. Eastern. ESPN2. FP2 is 11 a.m. Eastern. That's on ESPN2. That will conclude the Friday running. FP3 kicks off 6:30 a.m. Eastern. That's on ESPN2. Qualifying starts at 10 a.m. Eastern. That is on Big ESPN. And the race itself also will air at 9 a.m. Eastern, 8 o'clock Central, also on ESPN. So these are pretty much kind of your standard European times. All right, so one last thing. Obviously, we're not going to do predictions because I don't have anybody to bounce them off of, although I do think until somebody takes anything away from Max, I like him for both the pole and the win, unless somebody takes it away from him. And that's kind of where I'm going, because my last kind of message before we hop on out of here is, for any of the non-Red Bull teams, and I've seen this happen the last few Grand Prix, and it's kind of, it's not really annoyed me, but it's getting to that point. For the love of God, go be racy against these guys. I know Red Bull is the juggernaut this year, but this is one of the tracks that I think is not going to suit Red Bull as much as some of the other ones do. If there is a chance for a McLaren or an Aston Martin or a Ferrari or a Mercedes, and it basically can be any one of those teams right now at this point, so that's actually kind of fascinating too, to give Red Bull a challenge, I hope to God that they actually go ahead and do it. Be racy. Do a set of soft tires. Don't be conservative. Don't be happy with P2 and P3 or whatever it is on the grid. Go try to take that win. The other side of that equation is Red Bull are going for the most consecutive all-time wins in Formula One history. So, you know, you've got greatness on display, and you have to at least take a minute to recognize that. So if they happen to beat McLaren's, they're sharing it right now on 11 wins with them and McLaren. So if they happen to beat the record, I tip my cap to the Red Bull team for that. But I certainly hope that it's a fight. I hope it's a fun race. I hope it's an interesting race. Hungaro Ring can sometimes either be a procession or it can be kind of wild and crazy. So sometimes it's dependent on the weather. But I hope we get more of the latter. And if you stayed with me this far, one, thank you. I appreciate it. This is usually not going to be what the plan is for me to do previews solo. But like we said, we had some kind of external circumstances kind of, and we had to kind of get the episode out. So appreciate you all staying with me if you have this long. We'll be back. It will be James, me, and hopefully Cody on the review this Sunday. So we will get into all of the recap and reaction to the Hungaro Ring weekend. So I guess I will hop on out of here, let you get on with it, enjoy the weekend, and as always, may all your laps be fast.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Outlap F1 Podcast. If you like what you heard, click that subscribe button and be sure to leave us a 5-star review. If you want to connect with us outside of the show, check out our website at www.outlapf1.com. Find us on Twitter and Instagram at Outlap F1 Podcast, or email us at chatnow@outlapf1.com. As always, thank you so much for your support, and we'll see you on the next one.